Tonight I want to read to you from the prophet Isaiah. It's a prophecy about a king who would come. And he would have the power to do that which no one thought was possible. And then I'm going to tell you how that power affected me. The prophet Isaiah. And this is the very prophecy that Jesus of Nazareth read from his hometown synagogue when he picked up the scrolls and read, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day when God would come to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion and throughout the earth, to give them a beautiful garment to wear instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of fainting and withering, that the people of God might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that He might be glorified." And now I want to read to you the story that's my story. A story of shame, a story of unspeakable delight. A story that begins as a happy story and then becomes a miserable, horrible, awful story and then has a glorious end. This is the Gospel of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a great distance and lifted up their voices. They shouted, "Unclean! Unclean!" until one of them recognized him as Jesus of Nazareth and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us!" When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they looked at themselves, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, stopped in his tracks, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has saved you and made you well." This is my story. And as I said before, it started as a very pleasant, happy story. My mother was from a very wealthy family in Samaria, in the city of Jenai. There are two wealthy cities in the region of Samaria, Sychar to the south and Jenai to the north. My mother's family had lots of land. And it just so happened that they had several shops, and they were always in need of a carpenter. And so they hired for themselves the work of a carpenter from Galilee. That's my father. He was from the city of Nain. And he had become famous for his hard work and his craftsmanship. And though he did most of his work among the Jews of Galilee, those with wealth in Samaria would hire him. And he did such a good job that my grandfather hired him again and again and again to come down. And as he came, he met my mother. And soon they fell in love. And it was a forbidden love, for Jews could have nothing to do with Samaritans. For the Jew, a Samaritan was less than a Gentile, who they called dogs. They had a hatred, a bitter hatred, towards the Samaritans. But my father fell in love. Of course, he was disowned by his family, my mother disowned by hers, but they didn't care. They were in love. And then the census came. When Caesar Augustus tried to calculate the number of people that were in his great and glorious empire, he sent out a law, a decree, that people would have to return to the home city of their fathers. My father was from the house of David. And so he traveled with my mother to the city of Bethlehem. And there they lived for a while. My brother was with them, my older brother, and my sister. I wasn't born yet, but my mom was with child, carrying me. And lo and behold, this amazing thing happened while they were there. They had heard this report from shepherds, that these shepherds had seen angels, and they had declared that the king had come, the promised Messiah, who would make everything right. It just so happened that they had heard the reports of the shepherds. They had heard of this glorious promise. And not long after the birth of this one who had been promised, they moved into the lodge right next to where my family stayed. And my mother and Mary became friends. My father, a carpenter, became best friends with Joseph, a carpenter. And they enjoyed their time together in the city of Bethlehem. My older sister, she got to hold the baby Jesus. My brother was about the same age, and so my mother and Mary would talk about the joys that awaited them. And then one night, in the middle of the night, this wonderful family who had become so close to ours disappeared. And the next day was when the story became horrible, horrific, and awful. You see, there was a king already in Jerusalem, a king in Israel. At least he called himself a king. He was Herod. And when he had heard that the Messiah had been born, when he heard that another king would come who could depose him, out of jealousy, out of rage, he ordered his army to come to this little town called Bethlehem and slaughter all the male children 2 years and younger. I was still safe in my mother's womb, but my brother wasn't so lucky. My father, trying to defend my mother, trying to defend my brother, lost his life. And now there was just my mom, a Samaritan woman, in Bethlehem, with child, with a daughter, a dead son and a dead husband. She tried to return to her family's home, but they had disowned her. So she wandered through the regions of Samaria, from Sychar all the way to her hometown, and any town she could find in between, and literally lived on the streets. She had become a beggar. And soon it was spotted by people from our own town that her skin had developed the lesions that everyone feared so much. You see, in the day in which I live, the worst thing that could ever happen to you would be to find out you had leprosy. It was a horrible, horrible disease. It would begin with terrible pain and aches, and soon you'd get lesions. The hair on your skin would begin to turn white, and then these wounds would just grow for no reason. Nothing you did would help. You'd wash them, it made it worse. And then soon you'd begin to get numb in that area. And you'd think that would be great, but it was the worst thing that could happen. Because soon those wounds would get torn open again and again. Infection would set in. And the inevitable result of getting leprosy was you would die of horrific infections. And the disease that caused leprosy would eat away at you. People would lose whole limbs. And if that weren't bad enough, the worst possible thing about leprosy was that you were an outcast. As you walked the streets, you had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" So here was my mother, who now had me in her arms, who had her daughter living in a leper colony. And it didn't take long before my sister and I both contracted leprosy. Now, as you grow, it takes probably 20 years for this leprosy to work to the point where you're lame and an invalid and then are in danger of dying. And so in my teen years, as a young man, I still had strength, although I had a horrible, horrible wound in my foot. I couldn't feel it, but I could see that it got worse and worse. No matter what I did, I couldn't get rid of it. But I still had the strength, and so I went out with the other young men of the colony, and we would beg. And our job was to bring back anything we could for the rest of the colony. And I remember hearing about this Messiah that had come. I remember hearing about all the good that he was doing north of us, up in Galilee, south of us, down in Jerusalem. But where was he for me? All I know is because he had come, my father was dead, my brother was dead, my mother was a leper, my sister was a leper, I was a leper. We were an outcast. And because my nationality was determined by my mother, I was not only a leper, I was a Samaritan. And so in our leper colony, to the very north of Samaria, the very southern end of Galilee, I was beaten and mistreated terribly. There was one man in particular, I'll never forget. All he would do was stick his finger in my face and call me an unclean foreigner. Here's this man who's unclean with his leprosy, and all he could do was single me out, and he would beat me, and he would kick me mercilessly because I was a Samaritan, a foreigner. I began to hate that sound of that word because I knew every time I heard it, I was in danger. And I was now being called an outcast among outcasts. Where was this Messiah now? I was dying on the outside, dying on the inside. And my only job was to go out and beg. How humiliating. And one of the reasons this man would treat me so terribly, I had seen his wife come to visit him time and time again. And she would get to the edge of the colony. She would get close to the gate where she was about to come in. She wanted so badly to come in and see her husband, but she dared not look at him, afraid of what she would see. And if she had the courage, she'd get closer. And then inevitably, the same thing would happen to her that happened to every single person that came to our colony to visit someone. They smelled what it smelled like there. It was the stench. It would turn their stomachs. They couldn't get close enough to us to even speak to us because we were so foul and unclean and disgusting. It was an awful, awful life. I told you the story got awful. But then it got better. One day, as we were on the border between Samaria and Galilee, I was with 9 other members of the colony. They all happened to be Jews. I was the only Samaritan of the bunch. And we were crying out, as we do anytime someone comes by, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" And one of the people who was with us recognized this man. It was Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the one who brought such pain to my family, the one who could care less about me. We had heard he had already visited in a town called Sychar in the south part of Samaria, where he met a woman of ill repute of all people and promised her a living water that would never run out. And that the whole town had come out to see him, and they were changed. And the reports coming up from the town of Sychar were remarkable. That crime basically ceased. That people had changed dramatically. And they were all crying that the Messiah had come. And now he was standing just a few hundred yards from us. And everything in my body wanted to say, "Go away! Go away! You've just caused me nothing but pain." But one of my fellow lepers, "Jesus, Master, heal us." Heal us? What did he think? He was some kind of magician? What was going to happen? How was he going to do that? And then he said the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard. "Go show yourselves to the priests." Really? If 10 lepers walk in anywhere near the temple, they will chase us out with sticks. They would beat us half to death because we were unclean. We couldn't approach the holy place. But as we went, suddenly the pain that I had felt in my arm was gone. The numbness that was in my leg was disappearing. The white hairs that were on my arm were changing into normal color. I looked down and I looked normal for the first time in my whole life. And the other 9 who were with me, the same. And that moment, I stopped dead in my tracks. I couldn't move another step forward. I wanted to run back to the colony and show my family. I wanted to run and tell everyone what happened. I couldn't move. And every fiber of my being was calling me back to the one who had just saved me. And I don't know what I was looking for. I didn't know what he would say. I didn't know what he would do. I just knew I needed to get back to him. And as soon as I saw him, I ran and I fell at his feet. And I said, thank you for healing me. And then you know what he did? He looked down at me and said, where are the other nine? I had no clue. I don't know where the other nine are. All I know is I'm here. And then he said something that I'll never forget. And at first, it was like an iron rod that had been heated to white hot, driven right through my heart. He said, where are the other nine? And the only one who's returned is this foreigner? And he said it with such disdain. Foreigner? What, are you kidding me? I'm finally normal and you're going to call me a foreigner? And I looked up as tears began to stream out of my eyes. And you know what he did? He winked at me. He winked at me. And all of a sudden I realized the disdain that he had when he said foreigner, the judgment that he had, the rebuke that he had, it wasn't for me. The judgment was for all those who had looked down upon Samaritans. It was a judgment against all those who had treated lepers as if they were subhuman. It was a rebuke that there were any among mankind who would judge any other in mankind. Because it all of a sudden dawned on me, we were all foreigners. We were all foreigners. We were all unclean. No one was clean. Every one of us was guilty under the weight of our own sin, by our sins, by our hearts' transgressions, by the way we had treated other people. We had made ourselves unclean. The whole planet was covered with spiritual lepers. I rose to my feet, and I knew what my whole life now was in front of me. I would follow this man wherever he went. And I would tell the world what it meant to be unclean and how one becomes clean. And it's not by running and seeing the priest. And it's not by washing. And it's not by fixing yourself. It comes in this one person, the true Messiah. He came. And I, at that moment, I realized why he came to the city of Bethlehem, why he came to this earth. Because the whole world was condemned to be lepers. They were condemned by their own sin and uncleanness to death and a miserable existence. And God in his mercy and his great love, he loved the world so much, he sent his one and only Son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, would not remain a spiritual leper, but could be clean. Do you know what that meant for me? It meant everything in my life that I was ashamed of was being washed away. Everything in my life that had separated me from others, that had separated me from God, is being done away with. And the same is true for you. Whatever it is in your life that separates you from someone else, whatever it is in your life that separates you from God, whatever it is in your life that you're ashamed of, in your past or in your present, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Christmas exists because of God's great love and mercy in seeing our condition. And he sent his son. Because you know what happened to that carpenter's son? He grew up, and at the prime of his life, he was mocked and he was beaten, and he was crucified. I know because I was there. I followed that man everywhere he went. I was there when the crowds were huge. I was there when the crowds left him. And they nailed him to a cross. And as he hung there, after he had been beaten almost to death, after they had shoved a crown of thorns on his head, after they had mocked him in every possible way, he looked down upon the crowds, and I was a distant sightseer at that point, but down upon the crowd that I was part of, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." So here's the secret of Christmas. That every one of us, by nature, is a foreigner, is a leper, is an enemy of God, is a child of wrath, is dead in our transgressions and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His Son to live the life that we couldn't live and die the death that we should have to pay for our sins, so that we could be made alive again, healed of all of our infirmities, our spiritual infirmities, and given a whole new life. The story has a glorious end, because for the rest of my life, I walked through this earth as an ambassador of that good news. And you, if you belong to God, if you have had your sins washed away, if your spiritual leprosy has been cleansed, you have that same privilege. Join me as an ambassador of the Messiah, as a messenger of good news. Tell the world. No one has the right to judge anyone else. No one can look at somebody else and say, that person is less than. We're all less than. And God exchanged the life of the only one who wasn't less than, who was perfect. He exchanged His life for ours so that we could bring this message of good news, of salvation, of peace, of joy. You see, Christmas isn't about getting stuff. Christmas is about giving that gift, the gift of love, the gift of mercy, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of reconciliation, giving that gift because we've received that gift from God through Christ. So go. Go in peace. Go in joy. I was the last of the 10 lepers, the only one who returned. And folks, for thousands of years, people have gotten the story all wrong. It's not about being thankful, that I was the only thankful one. It was all about the story that God is so rich in mercy, He could save the worst of the worst. It was a story of how Christ is so glorious. He deserved worshipers from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost ends of the earth. That He would save people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. That as one family of faith, we could celebrate His birth. We could celebrate His life. We could celebrate His resurrection. We could celebrate His return. We could declare the favorable year of the Lord, and that salvation has come. So listen. Listen to this leper's story. Be a messenger of hope, of forgiveness, of love, of grace. And before you can be a messenger, receive these things from God. If you've always felt like you're on the outside, an outcast, someone who doesn't belong to God, someone who doesn't understand these things, on this Christmas Eve, receive the greatest gift of all, salvation, cleansing, a new life. And it's just a prayer away, a simple prayer. God, cleanse me like You did that leper. Make me new. Heal me. And give me that same calling. I'll give You everything, my whole life, my dreams, my hopes, my aspirations. I'm Yours. Use me. And He will be glorified. And you will receive the greatest gift of all. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. We thank You for sending Your Son, that none of us deserved salvation. All of us alike were Your enemies, were objects of wrath, were unclean. And You took the only one who was perfectly clean, the spotless Lamb of God, and You offered Him up in our place. And that's why all of heaven declares with praise that He alone is worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals and to provide salvation for all mankind. Glory, glory, glory belongs to the Lamb. So be praised, Lord God, and be pleased to send Your blessing upon this place tonight and in the hearts of those who are looking to You for the first time for salvation. Come in a powerful way and change them, and wash them, and make them new, and give them this glorious privilege to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask all these things in His precious name.